This is a production of Cornell University.
The time is 4:46. We're going to go ahead and get started. John, if you could please call the roll. Here. Julian. Excused. She's on her way. Celine.
Oh, got it. Perfect.
Perfect. Thanks. We'll be moving into a presentation from the SUNY Student Assembly. So, Mike and Austin, the floor is yours. Family members, as you have questions come up through the presentation, just flag either myself or Debbie, and we'll put you on the speaker's list.
Thank you so much for the attendance. Thank you for the assembly, for spending this time. My name is Austin Ostro. I'm going to be the president of the Student Assembly. This is my thank you for the announcement of the Director of Relations. I really appreciate all of you giving us a little bit of time to talk about assembly, student relationship, now, and areas in which we need to help support all of your important work here on this team. So, student relationship with Cornell. It's a little complicated. Some meetings, now, I've got students involved in the student assembly for years, and I understand it originally. And it's something that people have been playing. So, there was a four contract college here at Cornell. There was a agriculture and life science, veterinary medicine, humanities, and biology. And those students, regardless of where they're from in the country, are New York State SUNY students, and also students of Cornell University, which is a private school. And that's an issue for the higher ed, with the dissociation between a public system, SUNY, and private university for now. But there are a lot of benefits that come for the institution and for the students in the four contract colleges from that association in New York State. There are about 6,000 dual students at Cornell that we in the student assembly represent by virtue of being students at the contract colleges. And about 21% of all Cornell students are New York State residents. So, who we are? We are the representative student government for the 1.4 million students across SUNY's 64 campuses. We represent community college students, students in four-year degree programs, graduate students. We represent all the students in all manner of affiliation with the student system. We have a strong voice in SUNY governance through our position on the SUNY Board of Trustees. By virtue of my role as president, I am a student member of the SUNY Board, and I'm the only voting member of the board that's not elected by the government. That gives us a very strong voice of the students, independent of political considerations, in the governance of the SUNY system. And what that means for now is that there's an independent voice to review some decisions that are brought through four contract colleges to the SUNY Board of Trustees. When there's a new dean at one of the four schools, the SUNY Board has to approve that, and the SUNY Board
Our
big monthly events are our two biannual conferences. Our next one is actually 3 days, November 15th and 17th in Albany. We bring together over 400 student leaders from across the state to discuss the key issues of our students, hear from the team leaders at the state and federal level, and engage in professional development opportunities where students and leaders can refine their advocacy skills and learn what other student governments are doing and take best practices back. So we had 436 here at last conference, which was record. And we heard our keynote speaker was Attorney General Lucia Chang. In fact, we heard from the White House Chief of Staff. We heard from other key congresspeople. I spoke to President Anderson about potentially there being a delegation of Cornell students coming. I'm very excited about the prospect of that. So if there's interest in any of the students who contact colleges, I think Joe would write that. So advocacy is really a tool we create ourselves. And we see the unique benefits that come with being organized at the state level as I think the SUNY SBA community can do review the value of the student body. So listed are some of our advocacy priorities at the federal and state levels. I'm not going to delve too far deep into them. There's a lot more information on them on our website. But needless to say, we're focused on the student experience and how we can enhance. How do we make sure that every student attending a New York State school has access to an affordable and high-quality education that prepares them for success in the workforce and where they have a well-rounded experience on campus while they're here. And a lot of these initiatives and priorities will help move us to a place where we're truly meeting that promise. And I was actually speaking to Joe right before the meeting, and we're speaking about why contract college exists, why New York State invests $130 million per year in supporting this initiative. And the reason is, and I think Joe said it really, really well, is because it's about giving back to the state, that those programs exist because they help meet the needs of our state and help move our state forward through the academic programs that prepare students for after their education. And that investment is important, and we are going to continue to articulate in our advocacy throughout the year why those dollars aren't just for students now, but have benefits for our larger statewide community potential. There are $1 investments to make, and this is an actual study that's done. New York State generates $8.17 in economic development. $1, $8.17. For any finance people in the room, that's the best possible return you can ever hope for in 1 year. And we want the state to invest more of that money in itself through SUNY institutions and through the contract offices. Moving forward, we are very excited about the potential to develop a stronger relationship between this student assembly and our student assembly. And we think there's so much potential to bring more students into our advocacy, into our conferences, into our events, into our leadership team, to better integrate our bodies so that we can work together in support of all of the students that we represent. And I want to really thank my wife, the first Cornell student to be on our student leadership team, in quite a while. And it's kind of thrilling in that respect. But there's so much untapped talent and potential through this partnership that can really benefit us. So I encourage all of you to think about getting involved with us on the SUNY level. And that could be at a level like Mike, the tag-related decision, or it could be through serving on one of those committees that have a bi-weekly conference call where you can just become a part of the conversation, or if you're attending our conferences maybe twice a year. There are different levels of involvement both in based on your interest level and availability, so please consider our wide variety of options. And one last note, this is also an example of conversation. I think one area where we can provide some value to the Cornell Student Assembly is through providing data and anecdotes and stories from other campuses in New York State on key issues, and that can help guide your decision making. I know there's been this conversation about stipends and compensation for student leaders. And that conversation doesn't just happen for now, it happens at every campus in government. And a lot of campuses do compensate student leaders in very hard ways. I would be hard to share with Joe exactly what my life having an informed conversation about it. So if there's any issue where it would be helpful to know what's up with all what Tony Rogan is doing, or any other tool we're doing, please reach out to us. You can go to the link or directly. Our contact information is there, and you will help direct to that information. Again, thank you so much for your time, and I'm really glad to see this relationship continue.
Thank you so much, Austin. Does anyone have any questions for Austin or Michael? Any other questions? If you have no questions, that means you did a good job. Thank you. Well, this is your job.
Okay. We're now going to move into the open microphone. If there are any members of the community who really wish to speak at this time, please come up to the people in the middle.
Not related to anything on the agenda.
Not related to anything on the agenda. Okay, we're now be closing the microphone. Announcements. This is for our student assembly members. We have strength this Sunday. It's probably going to be in the same room it was on last time, which is on West Campus in the courthouse. Please be there. Bring your initiatives. Very exciting.
Fantastic. I'm going to skip the swearing in of the new members, and we're just going to move straight to the approval of minutes, so everyone can take a look at the minutes real quick from the October 17th minute meeting. There's been a motion to approve. Is there a second?
Second.
There's been a second. All in favor of approving the minutes from the October 17th meeting? The minutes clearly pass. Mariah, byline reports. For those who are new to the assembly, what we do is our appropriations committee sees our byline organizations on a Monday, provides recommendations to the student assembly on a Thursday. The student assembly needs to approve these recommendations by a majority vote. If you disagree with the recommendation, you can try to overturn them. That needs to pass by a two-thirds vote, and then we go into a deliberation process on the correct amount. So, Mariah, take it away. Questions or comments for Mariah? Is there a motion to approve? There's been a motion to approve. There's been a second. All in favor of giving Slope Day Programming Board $21 per student, please raise your placard. All opposed? All abstaining? By a vote of 25-0-1, Slope Day Programming Board has been given $21. Next, Cornell Concert Commission. Questions or comments for Mariah? There's been a motion approved. There's a second. All in favor? All opposed? All abstaining? By a vote of 25-0-1, Cornell Concert Commission has been given $13 per student. Okay. Questions or comments for Mariah? Valentina, can you pass that microphone? To go.
Just a quick follow up on Valentina's question. So, does it say of the remaining 75% that they're using on each of the 11, would it be based on the number of students in each organization or just the same amount for each org? The 75% that they're giving to the 11. Would each of the 11 orgs get the same amount of money or is it based off the student population? Okay. Yeah. Cool. Thank you. Yeah.
Jake Youngblood. Kirabelle? Oh, you don't have any question anymore? Liam, did you have a question? Oh, sorry. Go for it.
Thank you.
Any other questions or comments? There's been a motion to approve. Is there a second? Seeing a second. Sarah, did you have something? Can you throw? Yeah. Motion to approve. It's been a motion to approve. Is there a second? All in favor? Right, wait, this is going to be weird. One, two. Keep them high and keep them up. One, two. All of them. 19. All opposed? All abstaining? Debbie.
According to the rules, an abstention is supposed to be because you have a conflict of interest, and otherwise you're supposed to vote yes or no.
Do people want to
revote? People want to revote?
I'm black.
No, it's fine.
It's okay.
We understand why they abstained. By a vote of 19-1-6, Professional Fraternity Council will be giving 15 cents. Before we move into the statement, just a quick announcement that I forgot. I want to introduce the assembly and anyone who's interacted with the assembly to Wendy Treat, who's going to be our new senior coordinator in the office. If you're a committee chair, if you're someone who's looking to just get stuff for meetings, Wendy's going to be part of the office now. So can everyone do a quick round of applause for Wendy? Be sure to stop by in the office and see everything. So we'll be moving into the public statements. Gavin, before I'm going to have Debbie be going around taking names from the audience. If you want to be put on the speakers list, we're going to be making sure of that. She's going to also be holding the microphone for you to be using. And as that goes on, please, you know, flag her down. She'll be moving around the whole entire audience. Just, and she'll text me your name, and so then I'll be the person saying it. Okay? Gavin.
Hi,
people in the audience, who you have an Afro-Indigenous or Ohio scholar, activist, author, illustrator who wrongfully dismissed like a fellow Jewish character. I'm going to be a member of Lucia, but I also want to remind assembly members and members of the audience when commenting, we'll get into the video of their pronouns, please use their pronouns. And also, from SA members, this was said that this was a matter of representation. And I think this is one of the issues that we have not handled, or that we have not voted on, and that's new members are being sick. So, I get a lot of confused faces, but yes, that's a really useful thing. People here before we fully get today, so that, I didn't believe that until we get this conversation. So, we need to attempt to do our positions.
So how this will go, it's going to be prioritizing two community members to speak on the issue and then one SA member. If there is an SA member on the speaker's list, if there's not, I'll continue down the list of community members. Again, Gabby's out there, just flag her down and she will take your name so they can speak. And then, you know, we'll just keep going through it until someone wants to motion to vote on this segment. So first one, I have Wendy Sabel and PRSA. Gabby.
Creating a healthy environment for all the students. If the director cannot accomplish this very basic necessity, perhaps they are worthy of the leadership position they currently hold. Puerto Rican students felt dismissal from the Cornell program and department leaders 2 years ago when Hurricane Maria made our guidance. So during this aftermath, deeply affected the financial circumstances of our families around the world. A lot of us men went financially, went personnel from other departments immediately to seek financial support after this disaster incident. Financially, as well as some other departments on campus, dismissing financial support for Puerto Rican students, financially affected by the hurricane, and rerouting us to support groups. Little has changed since then. The treatment of incidents like these set a precedent for the treatment of minority groups at Cornell. A complete devaluation of the experiences of students of color, or as the pandemic puts it, a systemic issue where they rise to find some people and get rid of them. Minority groups, including Puerto Ricans, constantly and profoundly feel the effects of the administration's actions. Here in the city, the Puerto Rican Students Association probably has to submit an assembly to strive for the evidence demands that were published last week through media.com that she just expressed right now as well. And to work from a perspective of like legislation and for the legislation, the leadership of these programs needs leaders that make these drastic and racist decisions. Program leaders have been controversial in the foundation, competition, experience on the principles of Cornell and personally in studying. Since when has the university stood for urging students to separate the person from the study? Here at City and many studies, we're standing up as a person that cannot separate their studies from their personal belongings. Thank you.
Next we have Pacific.
May your choice dictate your role in the field. What say you, my dear? As a leader, here we have a call. We can help our people gather the money on what we are doing here. We want to help our people with good security to fight against climate change. You should be with us, no matter what. You may also support us from proceeding in the world.
Again, Debbie's still going around to members of the community, so Morgan.
So I was calling and
I actually did this time for veganism was when the fellows, without asking me, started a conversation about veganism, in which I said, you know, I don't understand what this conversation about is right now. But the way that they're raising me as if I'm this ridiculous person, I really myself to the question and answer discussion. And what disappointed me in this program is as a African person, I can't actually discuss issues that affect my community. And that makes absolutely no sense. And I was basically bullied, harassed, up to basically being in that program. I was also misgendered repeatedly, from week one, and trying to explain, you know, these are my problems. The program is basically making no effort. The fellows thought, you know, I was a problem because I wanted my pronouns to be used. And I also was refused accommodation for my disabilities, which included having actual. Exist to be able to write, and also access to a printer so that, for example, when I need to speak and I am put on the spot, my mind becomes black because of my ADHD. So I actually need to print things so I can stay on track, and I need to get a specific way where prompt is applied so that I can actually. This was not provided to me even though I asked for it repeatedly. And the panel also embarrassed me when I asked because I need to, in order to be here, I need to write things. So it's like embarrassing to ask them to please slow down the conversation so I can just write down. And this is yes, me, I'm 36, and I still live with all these issues. And I'm not ashamed of them. But I don't think that I should be discriminated for basic things that I hope everyone has access to.
Thank you. Patience. Yeah.
We all have a right to see. seeing how you feel. And Julia might feel that she was discriminated.
Julia uses they, them pronouns. Can you respect that, please?
Sorry?
Julia uses they, them pronouns. Can you please respect that? Julia uses they, them pronouns. Can you please respect that? And if you cannot, you cannot speak further. Julia uses they, them pronouns. And if you cannot respect that, you may not speak further. Next, we have William.
First of all, I want to acknowledge Julia for their views and willingness to kind of speak on this incident. I also want to acknowledge the views of these psychological students that the presence created by the human situation. Personally, for me, and I know for other students in the assembly and other students in this room, I feel like we don't entitle quite possibly never have to figure out now in the program because they're not there. And I do want to acknowledge that lack of complete understanding. My question is directed towards any willing member of the student assembly that might have some sort of rebuttal. This is not the first instance where I have witnessed or heard of racial or sexual or gender related intolerance exhibited by faculty and staff. Cornell bias reporting and the timeline offers certainly have volumes of data that monitor for these types of events. I don't personally see any issue with an increase in sensitivity training for faculty, as we are all students here to garner better education, and if we are not comfortable in our classrooms, They have ever discussed this with the Spirit for our benefit, for our request for our benefit. Is there any reason why the Spirit of God should not push forward with any of the regulations in these types of situations?
Can you speak louder and closer?
And I believe it was, I guess,
Next, we have a community member. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. you, like you can say.
There's been a motion to vote on the public statement. Assembly members, the public statement, you have it. Is there a second for the motion to vote?
Second.
There's been a second. Is there a dissent? What's the dissent? You just want to speak? Do you uphold the motion?
Yes.
Okay, so we're going to do a vote to vote. All in favor of going into voting on the statement, please raise your hand or placard. I think we should do it. Okay. We're still in a vote to vote. All members of the assembly who want to go into voting, please raise your hand or placard. All opposed of going into voting, please raise your hand or placard. All abstaining. Well, we're in a bit of a pickle. I'm going to concur with Gavin. I voted in favor of the motion to vote, so that put us at a split 12 to 12. I would have been the tiebreaker, but I voted because I thought it's important that we just go into voting. So if it's 12 to 12, the motion to vote technically fails. So I would have to go into the speaker slips again unless there's still another motion to vote that someone wants to remake. There's been a motion to vote if there's seconds. That's not a motion. Is there dissent to voting? There's some dissent to voting. We're going to go back into voting. I again want to remind all members, the person who is sitting right there in front of you wants us to end the session. Do it. All in favor of going into voting, please raise your hand or placard. All opposed to going into voting. 1, 2, 3. All abstaining. 3. By a vote of 19-3-3, we'll be entering into voting on the statement. Again, we'll be doing yes, no, abstaining. All in favor of the statement, please raise your hand or placard. All opposed?
Abstention and conflict of interest.
All, is that opposed? Okay. All abstaining. So there's been unanimous consent on this statement. Yeah, go for it, Mariah. There's also an option for roll call. Gavin, would you like a roll call vote on unanimous consent? So there's been a motion to vote by roll call on the unanimous consent. That means assembly members would vote by name, saying yes, no, individually on roll call for the unanimous consent to go through. That's what we're doing. So it needs a majority vote for it to be roll call. All in favor of having this be a roll call vote on the unanimous consent of abstaining, please raise your hand or placard. Yes. John, is that a vote? All opposed? Opposed? Please raise your hand. All abstaining? By a vote of 16 to 7 to 2, we'll be doing a unanimous consent vote by roll call. John, that's you. We're in voting. We're in voting. Roll call, please go to the last name.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
Morgan Lee.
Yes.
Colin Bennett.
Yes.
Aramean.
Yes.
Lieutenant Littlecare.
Yes.
John Rice.
Yes.
Osai Dar.
Jacob Klein.
Yes. Masada.
Yes.
Catherine Wong.
Yes.
William Cole. Absent. Yvonne Lee.
Yes.
Catherine Wong.
Yes.
Nick McCullough.
Yes.
Liam Horton.
Yes.
Tomas Green.
Absolutely.
Lucas Smith. Olivia Sullivan.
Yes.
Sarah Clark.
Yes.
Noah Walker.
Yes.
Brian Young.
Absent.
Carolyn Lee.
What's the question? Is it about voting? Okay. What? This is a roll call to approve by this statement unanimously. No, we're in voting. You can't do. You cannot do that. You have to vote yes, no, abstain.
So either yes or no.
Abstention. What's the total? So then it's not approved by unanimous consent. So there can still be a motion to vote once John reads it. So because it was unanimous and there is still one no, it is not approved by unanimous consent.
Thank you. Happy to thank some of you for your time. Thank some of you for your consideration. For other members, both those who said no and those who were hesitant, to be quite honest, we should be embarrassed, but we can talk about that at another time.
I'm going to ask for a motion for that roll call vote to be the final vote on this statement. Is there a second to that motion? There's been a second. All in favor, please raise your placard or hand. All opposed. All abstaining. Someone's not voting. But I will take that not vote as an abstention. By a vote of 24-0-1, the final vote of the statement that will be posted will be what John said, which was the 25-1-1. 24. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. Thank you for everyone. I'm going to ask for a motion to adjourn. There's been a motion to adjourn. Is there a second? Seeing a second, no dissent. This meeting has been adjourned.
This has been a production of Cornell University. On the web at cornell.edu.